Empower Radio presents The Butterfly Moment. It's the classic quantum leap in personal growth. Now here are your hosts for The Butterfly Moment, John Shelter and Carrie Hall on Empower Radio.
Well, good afternoon. Good afternoon. This is John Shelter. My wife, Carrie, is on assignment again, so I'll be flying solo. We are here in Michigan, and summer has arrived. I told Dylan before we started the show that we just have got to soak this up. It's the most beautiful summer day. And in Michigan, you know, you got to appreciate that, because if you talk about the weather, in 5 minutes, it can be old news because there's always some sort of change, but it gives variety. But anyway, today is absolutely beautiful. We are a typical summer day that you'd remember when you're a kid, when school is all out. And so we'll celebrate that. I've got the best job in the world because I've got an opportunity to talk to these amazing, amazing people, like the author that we're going to talk about towards the middle of our show. But it's a great job and it's a great day. Thank you for the feedback and pouring in of support with respect to my brother's heart attack. He's doing well. He's had two surgeries and a pacemaker inserted. He's well on his way to getting better. I want to talk a little bit about a lesson. I try to every week give a life tool, something that's worked for me. And this actually worked for my brother Al in dealing with the shock of his initial injury and heart attack. I don't know if you remember, but he was at a hospital gym working out on a treadmill and finally sat down and passed out. His heart stopped, just like pulling a plug. So for over 2 minutes, he had no heartbeat, and it wasn't for the wonderful staff at Beaumont Hospital. He wouldn't be there now. Talk about a butterfly moment, eh? But he is so brave and so courageous. He's making a choice. This is going to be his transitional moment. This is going to be his butterfly moment. He had his son and daughter write letters with him thanking the staff there. Just a wonderful example of a wonderful guy. And the one kind of lesson I wanted to share with you as a life tool is something from my favorites. I love the Navy SEALs. They've always got something. And the Navy SEAL, it came from a book. I can't remember it now, but it's this little story that's important. Apparently, they were out doing exercises of, they're always doing crazy things like going underwater for minutes at a time, holding their breath and swimming and endurance races, where they were traversing rock climbing up 400 feet on a rock mountain. And so this one Navy SEAL got halfway, 200 feet, and he froze. It's probably difficult for a Navy SEAL to admit that, but that's what happened. So he radioed up to his supervisor, captain, and said, I can't do anything. I'm frozen. I look down. I see 200 feet. I look up. And I'm just caught here in the middle. And his instructors said, acknowledge through the radio. He told him to acknowledge your 3-foot world. Because if you look down 200 feet, you're going to see how far you could fall. And if you look up 200 feet, you're going to see how far you don't think you can make. But you can make 3 feet. You can make the next handhold. And after that, your foot will follow and you incrementally get out of the jam. And so when my brother was in the hospital, he didn't think about when he was going to be able to drive or the bills that needed to be paid or what was going to happen. He thought about his 3-foot world. Because you can't eat an elephant all at once. You have to do it one bite at a time. So the tool is, when you get in a circumstance where you're overwhelmed, look at and acknowledge your 3-foot world. There's things you can do. Things that you can do incrementally that will give you strength and will give you momentum. Because all of life is a process and procedure of incremental progress. We beat our hearts one beat at a time. We breathe one breath at a time. We take one step at a time. It's just the way it works. So take that and put it into your pocket. And if next time you get into that circumstance, think about what you can do incrementally in small baby steps, maybe 3 feet. And if you continue on that way, any problem, even a stopped heart or the recovery, can be a lot easier to bear. I also wanted to acknowledge my nephew, Eric, and Allie, his new wife, Allie. I just want to mention that we're so lucky that we're in Michigan in the summertime. His wedding was on Mackinac Island, up between the UP and the Mitt. One of the most beautiful, beautiful islands I think I've ever seen. It was like Greenfield Village, or going back in time. In fact, Somewhere in Time with Christopher Reeves was filmed there. So ever get a chance to go there, it's a beautiful venue for a wedding. And they don't allow any cars on it. So it's like going back in time. There's just carts and horses and people walking around. It's not that big of an island, but it's just beautiful. I want to congratulate my sister and brother-in-law for a wonderful occasion and wonderful wedding, and just wish lots of love and luck for Eric and his new bride, Allie. Well, we have one of my favorite people, writer, as guest on the show, Nancy Byrne. And she contacted me. It's a great thing about the medium of the radio is that it's kind of like throwing things into the universe and say, like attracts like, bring me something beautiful, bring me something instructive, something that I can share with my radio audience. And this next guest contacted me. She's an author of a book called Choices. Her name is Nancy Byrne. And we have so much to talk about. She majored in psychology at the University of Colorado at Denver. And with both her graduate and undergraduate work, she's worked at Adolescent Psychiatric Treatment Hospital, executive director of the Woman in Need of Group Support Program, Rape Crisis Center, and the director of the Victim Services Unit at a major police department in the Denver area. And she, boy, we're going to have so much to talk about. It works as a counselor in several high-risk shelters for adolescents. But she's also a dog lugger, the lover like Carrie and I. She has a wonderful husband, 2 Dobermans. She beats me here. She's got 5.5 cats. We're going to have to talk about that. Nancy, are you there?
I'm here.
Welcome to the show, and thank you for contacting me and thanking for being our treasured guest.
Oh, I'm honored to be on your show, and that was just a beautiful tool that you gave us all to share. That was really impactful.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I give credit to the Navy SEALs, but hey, you know, That's what I do in my life coaching, you know, because a long time ago, I decided that, you know, I don't have any advice to give because we're all our best teachers in what we do. And I know that you do this every day with the people that you encounter, is facilitate and allow other people to make their own decisions that they need, that, you know, that they know what's best for them. And so, hey, we're all trading tools, right?
Yes, we are. And that's true. If you try to, you pull other people, and if you try to do it for them, it won't take. They have to go choices because
sure.
their own lives.
Well, you know, before we get into your book, which I absolutely loved, could you give us a little bit of your background? We talked about your professional experiences, but tell us a little about where you're from.
I was born and raised in Rocky Ford, Colorado. I've lived in Colorado all my life, except for the last about 6 months. I came from a really abusive home life, and that's how I ended up writing the book. Spirit one morning said that I needed to write a book, and I thought, well, no one would want to hear anything I have to say. And Spirit said, Nancy, your life's experiences will help many people, because so many people go through some of the same things and they think that they're all alone. And the fact that you came out of it and not only survived but thrived will help many, encourage many people. So, you know, and I really I get author credits for writing the book, but I truly, it was just like it was dictated to me. I really did not write the book. I put it all together and send it in, but it's not, that's not the way. I'm not that profound. The book is really a good book, and I couldn't have written it.
You know, that is so great, and it's such an inspiration to me and everyone out there who feels they have a book in them. You know, I tell people that, hey, when we leave this place and we go to heaven, what's going to be different is clarity, you know, and we're just going to be able to see things a lot clearer. And that people should not put obstacles up concerning their own creativity and willingness to write a book, a screenplay, or whatever, because you can just give it to Spirit, right?
Exactly.
Hmm.
And Spirit will, you know, Spirit, God, whoever, whatever you want to call this tremendous, magnificent force that lives within inside of us, is just... you know, is never wrong and will never fail or forsake you. And it's really true when you just put your life, your hands, and, you know, of course you have to take steps on your own and do your own part. But that's one thing, is all the time I was relying on other people that were just like me, going through the same stuff I was going through, and hoping that someone would be able to help me or rescue me. It didn't turn out. When I turned it over to Spirit, everything just turns out amazingly.
Wow. You know, what's great about this is that it affirms that like attracts life. I don't know if you realized, I'm the president of the board of directors of the Butterfly Foundation. We deal with at-risk kids, most of which are severely abused, and that our founder, Chip St. Clair, it's not his real name, it was changed, because you'll find out in a minute. He realized when he was 18 that his incredibly abusive father was a child killer and one of America's most wanted, and that his mother actually helped him escape from jail. So what's important about that little story is that your story, Chip's story, creates a conversation that needs to be had about this thing that's still gripping our world in so many different ways. Child abuse. You know, one of the things, are you still there?
Yes.
Okay. One of the things that really impressed me in this, in your book, was you really shared the feeling of being trapped when the abuse was there. You're witnessing abuse of your mother, but not knowing what to do. And even when you were in danger. Why don't you talk a little bit about that for us?
Well, really, I was just a small kid. And, you know, even when I finished high school, I think I weighed about 65 or 70 pounds. We just didn't have enough food to eat. We had money, but my dad spent it on drinking and women. So, you know, it was just kind of, it just, everything seemed so helpless. And just, I remember at one point we were Roman Catholic at the time, and we lived across the street from a church. And I was about 10 years old, and my dad had gone to the bar, so I snuck out of the house at night and went over to the church. For some reason, I was always, I guess, kind of depressed. I didn't realize it, but I was just really, I'd been crying a lot in school, and the teachers were worried about me. And I went to the church, and of course, in Rocky Ford, they never locked the doors. And I walked in, and it was totally dark. The whole church was dark. There was no one in there. It was probably 12 o'clock at night. And except for two little candles that had been lit for penance. And I walked up to the very front and knelt down on the pew, and I was just sobbing and sobbing and sobbing. And I just was begging God to please, please, please let me die. Mm-hmm. I was trying to reason, you know, with spirit and say, you know, there's so many people that want to live and they die, and I want to die, so please don't make me live. Please, God, just let me die. And I felt this hand on my shoulder, and I thought, oh, great, it's a priest. He's going to take me home, tell my parents, and I'm going to get beat up again. And I turned around, and there was no one there. Uh-huh. And when I turned back and looked at the altar, it was all lit up. It was like, you know, not in lights, but there was this most beautiful golden glow. It was just beautiful. And at that moment, I realized what a tremendous gift we've been given with the gift of life, and how as long as you're alive and you're breathing and you're living every day, you have an opportunity for change. There is hope. And I felt so ashamed of myself, even as a little kid, that here I'd been given the most fantastic gift that God can give us, and I was kind of throwing it back in his face and saying, I don't want it. Things are too hard.
Yeah.
And you know, to me, that was a butterfly moment when I realized, even as a small child, that you don't give up. If you give up, it's all lost. You just keep trying, putting one foot in front of the other. And I even as a kid, I had that experience. It was just, and it, you know, things didn't change at home very much, but it wasn't as overwhelming and overpowering. I got straight A's in school because I knew that was a key to get away from that family. And so we all have choices. We all have things we can do. We can give up and just lose, or we can keep trying. I, you know, I just really had kept up my good grades. And, you know, as you read in the book, when I ended up at the police department, you know, my guidance counselor and principal were there to tell him what a wonderful kid I was and how I always came in with black eyes and swollen mouth and everything. And it was the people, instead of fighting society and rebelling against it, I think you just have to try to be a good part of it and do your part. And people reciprocate. It's true about like attracting like. People respond to you the way you treat them.
Right, right. Well, that is a wonderful story, and it's you've got the prize. I mean, that is the most compelling butterfly moment I think we've had on the show. And thank you for sharing that. It just does provoke such wonderful conversation. And boy, before I forget, I just want the people, our listeners, to know about your book, because in my reading of it, there's other incidences and other butterfly moments and moments of pain and redemption that are in there. It's called Choices by Nancy Byrne. And Nancy, how can they just Google this? What would be the best way of either getting a hold of you or buying a copy of the book?
They can get the book at Amazon, through Amazon.com, through Barnes & Noble, or through Balboa Press, or they can get on my website, which is www.choices-nlv.com. Everything is choices. I'm all about choices.
That's great. And your last example was a choice that you made, that you were going to engage in life. And now I would assume from your CV or your resume that you are devoting your life to those issues.
Yes, I am. I think it's really, really important. I'd like this to be more than, you know, just writing a book. I'd really like it to be a movement. You know, it's our lives. I even had some jerseys made up, My Life, My Choices, because we wander around through life, you know, listening to the mindless chatter of everyone else around us, rather to our own inner guidance. Mm. And it's important to know that we have all the answers within us. Every obstacle we're faced with, every fear that we have to surmount, we have the ability to do it. And when we do, we grow exponentially. Mm. You know, people talk about God's testing them and, oh my God, I'm just being tested and I don't know why I'm being tested. You're not being tested. Spirit does not test you.
Mm.
Spirit knows exactly what you're going to do. You don't have to be put through a test so Spirit can find out if you're going to, you know, walk the walk. Spirit already knows the outcome. Spirit doesn't give you things that you could fail at.
Mm.
Spirit does not want you to fail. What you're actually being given is a tremendous opportunity for personal growth and empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
When you fear something, when you're terrified of something, and you go ahead and take that leap of faith and you do it anyway and you succeed, your confidence in yourself and in spirit soars. You realize that you're capable of doing so much more than you ever thought you could do. And that's what it's all about. If I could just help people to understand that one thing, it is just vital. We doubt ourselves. We don't think we're worthy. We don't think that spirit would want to help us. You know, we've sinned. We've done stupid things. Well, we're human beings. And spirit loves us more than we could love ourselves. And you know, if I could only have one friend in this whole world, I'm choosing spirit. You know, I'm going for the big guy that can help me with all my problems.
Yeah.
And I think that's important to know. I think I mentioned to you that I recently moved to Whidbey Island in Langley, Washington. As a small child, my dad had tried to drown me at Holbrook Lake. And I can still remember trying to breathe, and the water was dark and murky, and trying to breathe, and you just get water in your lungs instead of air, and I was terrified and flailing around. And so when I wrote the book, I was going to see a massage therapist, and she said, my husband and I have a vacation home on Whidbey Island. She said, why don't you come, and I'll have a book signing for you. Why don't you and your husband come and stay with us, and I'll have a book signing for you. Book signing. Wow. The lights went off. I was like, yay, yay. I didn't even catch island. I didn't even notice the word island. I was so excited about a book signing. And so I went home and told my husband, and he said, that sounds great. You know, we've got some vacation time. He's very well traveled. I'm not. And he said, I've never been to Whidbey Island, but I hear it's absolutely beautiful there. So yeah, let's do it. So we booked our tickets, and 3 days before we were supposed to get here, Michelle called me and she said, Nancy, I can't have a book signing for you. She said, I'm really sorry, but Matt is getting transferred, and we're going to be, I have to get our house in Parker ready to sell, because we're going to be moving to Whidbey Island permanently. And she said, but I just love your energy, and we don't have to be there. Just come and get the keys, and you and Phil go stay there for a week. She said, it's just beautiful. You'll love it. So I was, you know, really disappointed. I was disappointed in spirit, you know, because now I realized I was going to be going to an island and not have a book signing. So I mentioned it to Phil, and he said, well, we've already got the tickets and we've got the time, so let's just go check it out. Well, so we came, and then I had a moment of almost abject fear. You have to get on a ferry to get to the island, and I'm terrified of water. There's another way around, but we didn't know it at the time, that you can go on this huge bridge. But I was like, no, I don't want to get on the boat. Let's just drive there. And he said, you can't drive onto the island. This is the only way on. And he said, you know, we don't have hotel reservations. It's tourist season. I don't doubt that we could find a place even in Seattle. So we got on the ferry, and we came to the island. And the whole time I was here, all I was thinking about was I was going to have to get on that darn boat to get back. And it was beautiful, and, you know, it was just breathtakingly beautiful, but I was fearful the whole time we were here. So when we got back home, I was really, really upset with Spirit. I felt like he set me up. And so I wrote this letter to Spirit, and I said, why did you have Michelle invite me to go to Whidbey Island when you knew she wasn't going to have a book signing for me? You're Almighty God. You know everything. You know, why did I have to, you know, face my darkest fears and go be on an island, and I could have gone someplace else and spent our week's vacation in a safer place.
We're going to have to, oh my God, we're going to have to, we'll take this up in another session, but can you give us the takeaway?
Yes, moved here. Spirit said he wanted me to move to Whidbey Island because I still needed to learn to let go and to trust, and that I would flourish on this island. So we put our house up for sale, we moved, and we are so happy to be here.
Well,
when
Nancy,
you listen to Spirit, you
Nancy
can't go wrong.
Burke, we are happy that you included us in your life today. And I'm glad that we got the information out about the book. And just thank you for continuing the conversation, ending the conspiracy of silence. God bless you, and thank you again.